Welcome to the podcast, What's So Important About My Legacy? This is your host, Ken Edwards.
Thanks for joining us today. If you are interested in leaving a legacy for Christ, you are in the right spot. Our promise is to provide you relevant, usable, and timely information to help you build a spiritual and financial legacy which honors Christ. As the manager of everything God has entrusted to us, we have the unique ability to shape the spiritual inheritance of our family. Building a legacy that points our family to God is the best gift we could ever give them. Welcome to the final episode for Season 1. Over the past 12 podcasts, we have covered some timely topics with some exceptional speakers, all designed to help you understand the importance of your legacy and live the abundant life before your family today. Our topic for this episode is wisdom transfer. It's common in the world of finance to hear the term wealth transfer. Wealth transfer is the process of passing your assets to your family in the most efficient way. But our guest today says, if you transfer your wealth without wisdom, it's possible you could do more harm than good for your children. Ruth E. Rinkel, a lesser-known German author, said, sometimes the poorest man leaves his family the richest inheritance. So what type of inheritance are you planning to leave your children? It might surprise you, but the intangible portion of your inheritance may be worth far more to your family than money. Our guest today is Jeff Rogers. He knows a lot about wisdom transfer. Jeff is the living legacy of his grandmother, Graham Rogers. She is a spiritual anchor in Jeff's life and was the key reason for Jeff's walk of faith. He's the founder and chairman of Stewardship Legacy Coaching and Stewardship Advisory Group. He has over 30 years' experience in helping financially blessed families build strong and lasting legacies. Jeff serves on the Central Florida Board of Compass and the ministry Generous Church. He's also an author of the book Creating a Thriving Family Legacy. Jeff and his wife Kathy are active in their local church, enjoy traveling, spending time with their friends. So let's welcome Jeff to the program.
Great to be with you, Ken, and with your audience at Footprints for God.
Well, it is great to have you with us today. Tell us a little bit about yourself, and be sure to tell us about Graham Rogers, too.
Yeah, as you mentioned in your introduction, Ken, Kathy and I have been married for 33 years. I founded a couple of different companies, Stewardship Legacy Coaching and Stewardship Advisory Group. See both of those as ministries. One is more of financial stewardship. The other is the stewardship of people's family legacy and their business legacy as well. Grew up in New Hampshire, had a great mom and dad. I did not grow up in a Christian home itself. However, my father's mother, Graham Rogers, was a sold-out follower of Christ. And a couple of ways that I would describe her is she lived a life of generosity. So I first saw generosity modeled out in the life of Graham Rogers. And second, she lived out the gospel. So when my brother and I were probably ages 10 and 9 respectively, she gave us our first Bibles. And I remember in the front cover of that first Bible, she wrote, read Psalm 46:1, which says, our God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble. And so even before I was a believer, even before I knew Christ, I memorized his word and learned of that. By the way, she gave us those Bibles on her birthday. So that tells you what type of generosity she had, because she didn't always give gifts on her birthday, but she did that birthday, and it ended up being the most meaningful, transformational gift of my entire life.
So you know the value of a strong spiritual legacy. And Graham Rogers knew the power of God's word to transform your life. The Bible is the best source of wisdom for life. Jeff, we met several years ago at an Inspired Giving conference sponsored by Orchard Alliance. Both of us were on the program because we share a similar belief in God's ownership of all. Give us a quick overview of your understanding of biblical stewardship.
Yeah, so I think in order to really understand stewardship, we have to first recognize God's ownership. And so we come at this from the paradigm, which I believe is biblical, that God owns it all, including not only all of creation, in terms of the material world, but God owns us as well, and everything that we have. And everything that we have, any ability that we have, any resource that we have, is ultimately his. He's the owner, and we are his stewards. And basically, it's managing the resources for the best interest of the owner. And so that has to do not just with our finances and wealth, but holistically, we're stewards of our time, our talents, as well as our treasures. And the way I like to put it, we're also stewards of our leadership, relationships, and influence. So it's a holistic, everything we are, everything we have, everything we ever hope to be, our dreams and aspirations are all to be stewarded for the one who created us, our owner, which is Jesus Christ, of course.
That is a great explanation of stewardship, Jeff. In your book, Creating a Thriving Family Legacy, you wrote these words: if you transfer only your wealth without wisdom, you can actually do your children and grandchildren more harm than good. Share with us the difference between the traditional approach of wealth transfer with the concept that you call wisdom transfer.
Yeah, great question, Ken. If we look at the way the majority of Americans plan and what they plan for, and for that matter, the majority of professional advisors, it's all about what I'll call effective wealth transfer. It's the legal, tax, financial, and business aspects of planning for the transfer of wealth from, let's say, one generation to another. And we believe all of that is critical and necessary. So I'm not trying to dismiss the need for effective wealth transfer. However, we at Stewardship Legacy Coaching believe that we need to go beyond just mere wealth transfer to what we call intentional wisdom transfer. And when we use the term wisdom transfer, we use it in a very holistic way that means not only literal wisdom, transferring that to our children and grandchildren, but also transferring your vision for your family, virtues, family values, life lessons, family stories, and even your faith to your children and grandchildren and future generations. Do you have a plan for intentional wisdom transfer to go along with your effective wealth transfer?
Also, you teach in Building a Strong Family Legacy a concept of what you call leaving nothing left unsaid. Tell me more.
Yeah, that's really a passion of mine, as you know, Ken, is this whole concept of leaving nothing left unsaid that you will wish you had said. Things like, I love you, I'm so proud of you, or in other cases, things like, I'm sorry, will you forgive me? Many of us have heard of these deathbed reconciliation conversations where somebody gets right with their child or somebody gets right with their parent on the proverbial deathbed. And when we hear that, it always touches our hearts and we rejoice that after many years, in some cases of division or even some cases hatred or certainly animosity, they finally made it right before he died or before she died. And so we rejoice at that. But yet, what a shame is that? Because had they had that conversation and reconciled 20 years earlier, they could have had 20 years of great memories and great relationship. So what are those things? Who are the people you should be having those conversations with? And again, sometimes they're very positive. I'm so proud of you. And things like, I love you. Many people from, I think, our generation can, and the generations before us, certainly, I think our generation does a little bit better than the previous generations, but a lot of times they were very quiet they were not very expressive. They didn't say, I love you much. They didn't hug much in many families. And they just weren't really expressive. In some cases, even in terms of how they expressed their faith, they were very devout, but almost legalistic, and they weren't very expressive in it. And so one of the opportunities is to express those things now while people are alive and make the rest of your years count.
Unfortunately, life is messy. and each of us deals with the sinful nature. If we're not careful, our pride can keep us from rebuilding those difficult relationships. Now, there's another topic I think our listeners would benefit from hearing. I've heard you talk about the importance of the family blessing in passing your Christian legacy to your children.
I believe in this concept of giving your children your blessing, doing that formally, just like the book by John Trent and Gary Smalley called The Blessing. They talk about how to do that and how, you know, especially a dad can formally give his blessing to each of his children at an appointed time, kind of in a ceremony. And that's another type of those leave nothing left unsaid conversations that you could have is just making sure your kids know you love them, you're proud of them, and that they have your blessing.
That is a great idea, Jeff. It's based on the practice in the Old Testament of passing on a family blessing. You see, the Word of God needs to be central in building a family legacy. It's more than just church attendance or going through the motion. For a thriving family legacy, there needs to be a passion for Christ.
Well, for Christians, God's Word and the spiritual aspect is absolutely critical and for a number of reasons. Number one, God's Word is our ultimate authority and guide for how we live all of life. It is God's love letter to us and to our children and grandchildren. So we should know about God's love letter to them. And in it, as you know, Ken, our children and grandchildren will find, as we have, God's precepts, his laws, and his principles for how to live life. We'll call them best practices for living your life, especially in books like the book of Proverbs and the book of James in the New Testament, but really throughout Scripture. So God's precepts and principles to live life wisely. And also, I'll give a third P, is God's promises for us. I don't know about you, but for me, God's promises are a tremendous encouragement, both, you know, when things are going well and when things are difficult, whether on the top of the mountain or whether in the valley, I need God's promises.
I'm sure Graham Rogers knew about those three P's and stood on the promises of God until each member of your family came to Christ. Is that right?
When my dad went home to be with the Lord back this last June, what a tremendous promise that I had, knowing that he was a sold-out follower of Christ. He had gotten saved later on in life. I was the first one saved in my family, and then my brother got saved at my baptism. Then my dad about a year later at an evangelistic service, and then my mom about a year and a half after my dad. So for me to know when my dad slipped from here into eternity that he was in the presence of Jesus Christ, his creator, he was reunited with my mom, and that there is going to be a day of reuniting for those of us, because obviously we know the Lord too. What a tremendous promise from God's word.
Praise God for that blessed hope we have in Christ. Now, in your book, you state that biblical stewardship expresses a heart of generosity and that generosity springs from the heart of God. Let's go deeper on this.
Yeah, so related to generosity, I love this quote. I first heard it from Todd Harper of Generous Giving. I think he originated, but he may have been sharing it from someone else. But he asked this question. Have you ever seen an unhappy, generous person? Yeah. And I don't know about you, Ken, but I've never seen an unhappy, generous person. Generous people are some of the happiest people on the earth. And so even if it were just for our own self-interest to be a happy person, we should be generous. But it goes beyond that. In the planned giving world and the charitable giving world, there's two words that are often used. One is philanthropy, and the other is charity, charitable giving, philanthropic giving and charitable giving. And as you probably know, Ken, those have actually very different words in the Greek. Philanthropy is from phileos, which is the love of mankind. And so that is a motivation for generosity, giving back to our community, giving back to mankind, giving because we care about society, we care about people. That's a good motivation. But we also see the word charity also in 1 Corinthians 13, which the Greek word there is agape. And that's different than philanthropy. It's giving that emanates from the heart of God. It's giving because God motivates us to want to give to help others, not just for the sake of them, but for the sake of Him. We, in that process of being generous, become the hands and feet and the heart and the mouth of Jesus. And that is also where generosity kind of intersects with the gospel, because throughout church history, as Christians have been generous, as they've given what are called acts of charity, they've validated the message of the gospel, and many people have come to know Christ. And so as we think about generosity, one of the questions that I think is good for us to ask is, why have you and I been blessed with more than enough? And the answer is, I believe, we are blessed to be a blessing to others as the hands and feet and heart of Jesus. We are to be ambassadors of Christ in how we give, in our generous spirits.
Several times in this podcast, I've quoted from your book, Creating a Thriving Family Legacy. Where can our listeners find out more about you and your book?
Sure. So the book's name is Create a Thriving Family Legacy, How to Share Your Wisdom and Wealth with Your Children and Grandchildren. We do cover things like effective wealth transfer, but we really focus on intentional wisdom transfer and the transfer of virtues, family values, and even your faith. We've got a website, thrivingfamilylegacy.com, thrivingfamilylegacy.com. And there's a number of free resources and assessment to see how your family is doing in the area of your legacy that is there as well. And then our company website is stewardshiplegacy.com. stewardshiplegacy.com, and there's some great resources there. And the book is available not only through those websites, but also at Amazon and most major resellers.
Any final thoughts?
Yeah, so I would say, first of all, you can't leave a legacy. You can't leave a thriving and lasting legacy unless you live a thriving life and live out your legacy while you're alive. It's not just something you can do when you die. So you need to live it and then leave it. And then the final thought would be, as believers, we need to think about what is the mark of our ultimate legacy. If we do it right, how will that be measured? And I believe the answer is found in the Word of God, where I believe that if we live out our legacy and we do it right, we will one day stand before the Lord Jesus Christ at the Bema Seat and hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your Lord." And to me, that is the ultimate mark of our legacy. That's the mark of an eternal, eternally lasting legacy.
Thank you, Jeff, for being our guest today. And thanks to you for joining us. Each day we build our legacy as we leave our footprint on this world and our family for Christ. I hope you've enjoyed season one of this podcast. Please tell your friends and church family about us. Also, hit the subscribe button or head over to footprintforgod.com to discover more. Until next time, this is your host, Ken Edwards, reminding us to build our footprint for God today so our family will follow the Lord tomorrow.